Good afternoon. This is A.T. Mann, and this is the Astrology Show on WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial. The timing has been a little strange, apparently, and I think I was supposed to have been here last week, but we're on a new schedule, which is that we'll be doing a program today, which is the 14th of October, and the next one will be on October 28th, which is towards the end of our fund drive at the end of this month. Okay, I'd like to talk to you about the astrology that's going on right now and in the very near future, and I'll take us up until October 28th, which is 2 weeks from today, and obviously also a Friday. I also decided that it would be interesting in each of the programs to include a kind of definition of astrological terms, just so that you, the audience, understand a little bit more each time, and maybe this can become a kind of learning process over time where you can begin to know a little bit more and more about how astrology functions. And certainly it allows you to make it more and more relevant to your life and to what's going on with you at any given moment. Right now, we just experienced yesterday a change of Mercury, and Mercury has to do with communication, self-expression, how we get across to other people, the way our minds tend to work, the way communication functions for all of us. And after having been in Libra for around a month or so, Mercury just went into the sign Scorpio, which is just as Mercury is very much communication for the benefit of others, other people around, and so on. Scorpio is much deeper and darker and more intense. There's a kind of secretive quality about Scorpio. Maybe even is. An effect on the cerebral quality of Mercury, which is about mind. And so instead of the surface, which is what Libra really often concerns itself with, it's really about going more deeply into issues that arise. Conversations can become intense. Obviously, that intensity is something which can often not be fun. But certainly it is about finding out what the real core issues are. And, you know, for example, within the context of what's going on politically, Republican candidates are, you know, making themselves and their positions known to people. And it may well be that during this next month or so that everyone will go a little bit deeper. At least I certainly hope so. It's also about discovering secrets, finding out things that have been hidden and bringing them to light. So this is a time of revealing, and it's often happens around this time of the year because Mercury, as I've mentioned many times, is never more than one sign away from the sun. And although the sun is right in the latter degrees of the sign Libra, that we're about to go into Scorpio in about 10 days or so, 9 days, as a matter of fact, on October 23rd. So for today, we see that the sun is exactly conjunct Saturn, and the sun is our energy, vitality, our ability to really see clearly, but it also symbolizes the masculine principle, often leaders in general. And when the sun goes conjunct Saturn, the discourse becomes more intense, more focused, more direct. Especially there's an impact about financial issues because sun and Saturn, both being in Libra, are very much about politics, about finance, values, and issues that are of common interest and common concern. So this is really a little bit intense here because when Sun is conjunct Saturn, the conversation always becomes much more serious and much more about what restricts one rather than what opens one up. And in a way, it takes that Venus quality, which is very kind of devil-may-care of Libra, and tends to make it much deeper, much stronger, much more intense and dynamic. Also today, Venus is in the sign Scorpio as well, and it's opposite to Jupiter in Taurus. And Venus-Jupiter usually is a very, very positive aspect, no matter what context it occurs within. And yet we see that Venus is our desire to buy things, to be extravagant, to buy beautiful objects. And Jupiter in Taurus is usually about finances and having financial support. But when Venus and Jupiter are opposite each other like this, it often indicates that there's a problem there, which is that you're forced to spend on things that you don't need or have. Maybe the money that you're spending on necessary things is something that you're deeply in debt about. So Venus and Taurus like this, Venus and Jupiter in opposition, are often very problematic and very difficult to deal with. However, this is a weekend also, so we see that, you know, art has a kind of different kind of intensity right now. It may be confrontational. Interestingly, a friend of mine is having a show that opens tonight in Poughkeepsie at the Mill Street Loft on Pershing Street, and her name is Jennifer Axon Weiss, and she's showing her paintings. I think the opening is from 5 to 7 tonight, so you might want to catch that. But it'll be very interesting to see if the paintings that she displays there, you know, show some of these qualities that can be intense, needy, loving, powerful, about anger connected to such issues and so on. And it's interesting astrologically, although things like art shows come up seemingly at random, that they, of course, always have a certain kind of relevance to existing aspects that happen around the same time they're launched. And again, this idea of the connection between these, what I call them, kind of collective astrological aspects in the individual is the topic that I'd like to really address today. The aspects as I describe them are not necessarily for Aries or for Virgos or for Sagittarians or for Scorpios, but rather each aspect is in a certain, each planet is in a certain sign, and when it aspects a planet in another sign, the two signs it affects most strongly are the ones I mentioned, like Venus and Scorpio opposite Jupiter and Taurus. It's going to affect Jupiter in Taurus people and people who have planets in Taurus, as well as Venus and Scorpio people, but also people who have planets in the sign Scorpio. And they're likely to be much more strongly and deeply affected by such issues than anyone else will. And since they're both fixed signs, as well as Leo and Aquarius, that they're going to affect the fixed signs much more deeply and more strongly than they will any of the other eight signs of the zodiac. These are called the crosses of the modes. There's a fixed cross, there's a mutable cross of Gemini, Sagittarius, Pisces, and Virgo, and there's a cardinal cross of Aries, Libra, Capricorn, and Cancer. So this fixed cross is being really triggered right now. In fact, all of the new moon, the full moon, and the quarter phases during the time the sun is in Scorpio are all in fixed signs. So this is a time when fixed values start to erode, when we start to begin to be maybe either intransigent and stick to our existing values, or maybe it's throwing us off and forcing us to go through what looks like a radical change, almost like a death and rebirth of one's attitude. So, you know, this kind of principle will hold true in the coming weeks, and, you know, it may be valuable for you to know the signs that these aspects occur in, because it may affect you more than it does your partner, your kids, your friends, and so on. You'll see a propensity of fixed influences happening while the sun is in Scorpio. On Monday, the 17th, this coming Monday, Mercury in Scorpio goes opposite to Jupiter in Taurus. And Venus and Mercury are very often close to each other, so it's not surprising that within 3 days we get a replication of that opposite Jupiter aspect, but now it involves Mercury, which is about thinking about things. And it's about changing beliefs and attitudes, and it can represent things like, you know, an increase of religious propaganda, of people really disagreeing because of fundamental beliefs that are incompatible. You know, it may be a fundamentalist Christian issue or an evangelical issue. It may be fundamentalist Islam or Judaism. And again, if you look around, you notice that there's a tremendous predominance of such fundamental beliefs within all of the major religions that are happening right at the moment. And as a result, these can be very much triggered by aspects like this, because it really does condition the kind of prevailing set attitudes, beliefs, and so on. Also on Monday, Mars in Leo, which is going backwards right now, it's at the moment right in the middle of Leo, and when it goes backwards, it will go sesquiquadrate to Uranus and Aries. And this is really very flagrant, it's powerful, it's wildly energetic. You know, if you have a difficult issue with someone, it can easily escalate into an argument. Discussions often turn personal. They can often be highly energetic, very charged. And again, we'll see that Mars Uranus is also, you know, if one is able to utilize such an energy, it can be extraordinarily creative and can lead to breakthroughs and in a way setting aside traditional values that haven't worked all that well and discovering new issues and new values that work better and are more effective. Sesquiquadrate is an aspect that you might not be familiar with. It's an aspect that somehow is between a trine of 120 degrees and a quincunx, which is 150 degrees. So this 135-degree aspect shows tension, and it shows conditional change, meaning incremental change. Things shift, but only barely. And there are often conditions attached. It's like, you know, I'd like you to do this for me, and in exchange, I'll do that for you. Or on the other hand, it may be, I love you as long as you support these values, but if you change, then I may well withdraw that. So you'll find when you become aware of these kind of principles that you, when such aspects come into existence, like on Monday, you'll see that no one will just give you something or say something point blank, but rather there will always be kind of conditions attached at some level. Next week on Friday, the sun is in Libra still, towards the end of Libra, and it goes in trine to Neptune in Aquarius. And Neptune is right near the last few degrees of Aquarius. It's about to go into Pisces for the next 15 years. And this is really quite major. And in a way, it's a kind of preview of what is to come. The sun trine Neptune aspect means that the normal clarity and of consciousness, which is the sun in Libra, particularly vis-a-vis relationships, becomes very foggy, hazy, mistaken. Things begin function on more on a psychic level than on a tangible material level. You very often get a principle where there's a weakness or weakening of communication qualities. And part of this is that Neptune in Aquarius is a time, the last 15 years, think about it, of very, very powerful ideals clashing, colliding. And this leads to, on a collective level, it leads to all kinds of tremendous discrimination, of deeply felt differences in values. And it also doesn't make things easier for politics, for financial worlds, and so on. And in fact, the idealism of Neptune, which is fixed, of course, is, you know, really problematic when values are such an abstract thing. And that's one of the elements of Neptune, this sense of abstraction and detachment. At such a time, also, very often people have dreams that seem to be saying something, that seem to be communicating deeper and finer values somehow. Psychic experiences can be exaggerated, and you know, one can feel as though you're really in touch with the divine, although, as we know, bringing such divine realizations, revelations back into the real world are always plagued with great difficulties. So it's a tendency to really become more mystical, more magical about things, but also a lot of this is held inward rather than having an easy kind of movement out. On Sunday, October 23rd, we see that the sun goes out of Libra and into Scorpio, and this is the Halloween season, and very much like the title of my last book, which was Sacred Landscapes, the threshold between worlds, that the Scorpio time is notorious because the threshold between the worlds are thinner than they are most other times. And what I mean by this is that the difference between the world of the living and the dead possibly is such a difference in worlds. The idea of life and death, the principles of the magical and hidden psychic world and the so-called real world, you know, of conscious and obvious things becomes very, very thin. And it's not accidental that Halloween happens during this time of the year. And in fact, it happens within the week, about a week after Sunday. This indicates, you know, collective resources are issues that become an issue for everyone. It can indicate lack of resources, lack of money, lack of food. Issues come to the forefront at such times. And it's always about really looking more and more deeply to see whether the right moves are being made, whether there is wisdom being used in such processes. And it also indicates unusual aspirations and behavior and, you know, people really stepping out on the edge in a way that may or may not be reasonable and acceptable. It can often feel like a time when there's a sense of loss and a sense of distance between what one would like to see as reality and what's really happening around one. And so we hope for better things to come, but that isn't always forthcoming. Just to take a break for a second, this is the Astrology Show with A.T. Mann on WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial. And as you know, we have a fun drive coming up next week, so we hope you're going to tune in because it should be a very interesting time, and we're hoping to raise some money to keep our station going. Interesting that Sun enters Scorpio next week when the fun drive begins. And also, in fact, there's a new moon on Wednesday, October 26, which is probably right in the middle of it. And it's interesting because the new moon in Scorpio highlights finances, values. It's a very dominant time. Major energies are really swirling around. It's a good time to support those people and those institutions that you really feel are there for you. It's about going outside of yourself and really investing in the community and investing in these larger structures that in many ways these days are deteriorating a bit, are maybe fraying at the edges. But certainly the new moon in Scorpio is really a very dominant time, and changes can happen very rapidly in the sense that you know, everyone is under a high degree of financial stress right now, but that doesn't mean we can't really support those causes that we really feel are valuable and, you know, really make a difference in our world. So by all means, of course, we hope that you support our station and keep all of our services going, because we believe, and I hope you believe, that it's a very important element of our community in becoming stronger and stronger. What's also interesting about new moons is that, again, as Scorpio is a very deep sign, when the boundaries between the worlds or the veils become thinner and thinner and thinner, that it's often a time when secrets become known, particularly in the political and financial arenas involved in national and political politics. Things come about, things come out into the air that really change things dramatically. This can coincide with dramatic shifts and swings in markets. It's a time when people are very highly emotional, where they often say things without thinking very clearly. And this whole dynamic is something that affects all of us very deeply. Once again, as I qualified earlier, because of the sign Scorpio, that there tends to be much more pressure on people that have planets in the fixed signs, like Scorpio, Taurus, which are opposite, and then Leo and Aquarius that are in square, 90-degree angle away from them. So this is really a time when we really dig deeply. It's like, you know, nature is dying around us, which here in The Hudson Valley is incredibly beautiful because we see the trees changing color. But by then, the leaves will have mainly dropped, and we will begin another, in a way, a descent into winter. And this is also very key for Scorpio, which is this: the dying of nature opens up the possibility of a rebirth the following spring. And so it's, in a way, it's a very good time for existing attitudes that you have that aren't necessarily working at their best for you be allowed to dissipate. And it's a time when we are encouraged to really let go of the things that restrict us. In fact, also on the 26th, which is Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, Mars in Leo sextile to Saturn in Libra. And Mars is energy, Saturn is focus, and very often Mars-Saturn, even though this is a positive aspect, means very powerful energies directed in the right way begin to really show results almost immediately. So there's this issue of working hard, being stubborn, really resisting and insisting on particular values and principles being held to. But it's only through a huge amount of effort and concern that this comes about. So it's a time when everyone seems to be efforting. I mean, things don't really come particularly easily. However, we see also that, you know, if you do really push deeper, go really to the bottom of your resources, that you can really produce results that have a huge effect. Friday the 28th is 2 weeks from today, and I will be back here then, and although part of the program will be taken over by the fund drive. But interestingly enough, we have Jupiter in Taurus, which is about finances and wealth and changes in finances and so on, in a positive aspect to Pluto in Capricorn. And this is actually a very powerful aspect because it's really uniting the public together, really bringing us into the same basket and making us feel similar ways that can be really quite powerful and quite potent. It often indicates a time when leaders emerge, when, you know, the financial system, because Jupiter is about growth and about finances and values, and Pluto is about larger term collective changes that happen in those respects, that the financial world can very easily go into a strange shift and change. Jupiter's going backwards, which means financial things, instead of improving dramatically, are likely to start backing up on themselves. And, you know, things that look to be sure things, you know, even a couple of weeks ago, begin to become more questionable, dodgier, and maybe more difficult. It indicates a time when, as I said, leaders can often emerge, in strange ways. It's like people who you thought were out of the limelight suddenly step up and feel called upon to make their presence known. And it can be a real turnaround in that respect, in terms of political elections, in terms of financial organizations, in terms of government in general, that things really do undergo a major shift. So we have a period of time when, you know, a lot of things are changing. And even though this period of a couple of weeks when the sun is in the sign Scorpio is a great resistance to change and a great a kind of holding back and wanting to keep things as they are rather than deal with the uncertainty that lurks in our collective future, that at the same time, we need to sometimes break those patterns and step away and really begin to look at things in a very, very different way. So this new moon, you know, that happens towards the end of October is quite potent. You know, maybe it's more so because it's around Halloween. And so maybe we need to really just make a huge effort to really see clearly, to not get overwrought by what comes about, by not buying into the kind of reactionary qualities that seem to be an essential element of American politics in recent years. It's a shocking situation in many ways, but certainly it appears to be very deeply entrenched. Okay, then I think we're coming towards the end of the program. I just wanted to mention a couple of things. One of them is that if you're interested in finding more out more about me and about what I do and how I work, you can look at my website, which is www.atmann.net. That's atmann.net, atmann.net. I also do a lot of reports online. If you're curious about having tarot readings or astrology readings, do be in touch with me. And certainly I'm going to be giving one away next week at our fun drive, in 2 weeks at our fun drive, a tarot reading, which is a very, very interesting process to experience. And I think whoever decides to pay an enormous amount of money to have it will definitely be the envy of their neighbors and friends. And it will end up being a very positive shift in the right direction. So thanks very much, and it's been great to be with you today, and I'm going to sign off for the astrology show, and this is AT Man. So this is AT Man signing off. Just so that you remember, these little astrology sessions are going to be at 3 o'clock on the 2nd and the 4th Fridays of each month. So make sure to tune in next time.
Tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Grabbable, handleable, listener-fueled radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
You're listening to WGXC.
The 90.7 FM.
Ica.
Copic.
Caro.
Catskill. Greenport. Claverack. Kinderhook.
Maryville.
Germantown.
Greenville.
Schoharie.
Greene County,
Patrick, Ashland,
Chatham,
and East Durham,
Athens,
Haynes Falls, Hunter,
and, Coxsackie,
Preston Hollow, Oak Hill,
Ankrum,
Great Barrington,
Hawthorne Valley,
New Baltimore, and
Hudson, New York.
The Greene County League of Women Voters and WGXC are co-sponsoring candidate forums this election season in Cairo, Coxsackie, and Catskill. Turn out in person or tune in to 90.7 FM to hear local candidates discuss their views on the issues. Come out to the candidate forums to write down a question for the candidates or listen at home live or later to the archived recordings at WGXC.org. The forums, administered by the League of Women Voters, will be in Cairo on Thursday, November the 3rd from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Cairo Town Hall. In Coxsackie on Saturday, November the 5th from 10 a.m. to noon at the Hermance Memorial Library. And in Catskill on Saturday, November the 5th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Catskill Community Center. Candidates should be receiving invitations in the mail or can contact info at WGXC.org. Thanks to the Greene County League of Women Voters.
The Thompson Giroux Gallery is pleased to host an artist talk by Emily Chang, Image Making and the Spirit in Painting, on October 15th at 5 p.m. Emily will present an animation and discussion of her work and will be signing copies of her book, Chasing Clouds, A Decade of Studies. The Thompson Giroux Gallery is located at 57 Main Street in Chatham, New York. More information at thompsongiroux.com or 518-392-3336.
Who is community radio for?
It's for people!
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You can't see the people. There's too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's nothing to see.
That means you can drive at the same time you listen to the radio.
Do you think it's safe to operate a motor vehicle while listening to WGXC?
Is it safe to use power tools while listening to WGXC?
90.7 FM. WGXC.
Jay Unger and Molly Mason are my guests today. Harry's going to be in. We're going to be hearing from Milt Kamen. We've got... Let's see, what else we got? What do we got?
Gee, I really don't know.
Oh, yeah, Ralph Harris. Ralph Harris and... Well, we're going to start off with a Quarrymen, spelled Q-W-O-R-Y-M-E-N. This is the Beatle rap. It's from Tales from the Rhino. It's a two-disc series. So, disc one is all the novelty records. Not all the novelty records that Rhino's put out, Rhino Records, but some of their favorites, I suppose. This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. I know I didn't mention that. If you're tuning in, you don't know what's going on. Hey, man. Hey, man. This is Knock on Wood, man. Let's listen to wonderful impersonations of the Beatles.
Hello, lads. Why don't we do a Buddy Holly number?
You know my name. Look up the number.
Number nine, number nine.
What a shame Mary Jane had a pain at the party.
I've just seen a face and it's Ringo's.
Well, my name is Ringo and that ain't lingo, cause I'm the greatest star. Well, I ain't no bummer, I'm a hummer of a drummer and I've gone pretty far. I've got a yellow sub and a caveman's club to beat on all my skins. I even got me a magic Christian to pardon all my sins. I got a bird named Bach who loves to rock. She's a woman who understands that if she ever left me, I'd have to get me a Lonely Hearts Club Band. Now I'd like to introduce you all to a lad who's on the ball. He plays bass with a lot of taste and he goes by the name of Paul. Take it away, Polly. Says your grandfather then. It's very clean.
Ringo, we'll call you.
I'll be operating then.
Well, my name is Paul and I do it all. I write and sing and play. But for all me money, it might be funnier to long for yesterday. Now, I might have a smile that's longer than a mile, but don't think it's all been fun. I've been arrested for drugs, mobbed and mugged, and had a band that's on the run, you see. I've been thrown in jail, gotten hate mail, even told that I was dead. Had herds of birds threaten me life, just cause I wanted to wed, you see. Now I'd like to introduce you to a man who found the Lord. He plays a mean sitar, rhythm guitar, and he goes by the name of George. George, hey, we'll let you sing one now.
I'll sing if you want me to sing, and I won't sing if you don't want me to sing. Well, I just might be the baby of the bunch, but I'm also the most hip. From the Maharishi to Hare Krishna, I started every trip.
What's he talking
Hari,
about?
Hari, oh bloody, oh blada, yeah, yeah, let it be, let it be, la 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 la. Hey Jude, love is all you need. My sweet, he's so fine. I did it all, they just never give me any credits.
All right, lad, your time's up.
Ooh, now let me introduce you to the chap who takes no crap. His name is John and he's going on because he still likes to rap. Hey John, no bebop alulas, alright? We gotta do the real thing this time.
Fair enough.
Okay, you ready?
Aye.
Alright, here's Johnny.
Well, my name is John and I'm always on and I'm speaking with my voice. I write rock and pop and the heads of mop. I've got a psychedelic Rolls Royce for sale. Now, they called me local when I married Yoko, but she's a gal who's on the beam. She buys a sack of potatoes, throws out the potatoes and hides inside and screams. You're an eggplant, the sister's an aunt, I want to jump up your nose. I love New York City, my Aunt Mimi, and worth the rhyme with orange. What a load of rubbish. I can't believe this. Who wrote this thing?
Don't you remember we did, John?
You know, we used to be Fab and Gear and stuff like that. What's going on? We reformed for this.
I remember when we used to make good records.
To you too, and to you, and to you, and to me, and everyone here, all together now.
All right, I did the record, but I don't want to play live. Has anybody seen the old brown shoes?
Oh, they put me in the movies, haven't they?
Anybody want to buy some Lithos?
Signed.
Scrambled eggs.
Well done, The Quarrymen, spelled Q-W-O-R-Y-M-E-N, which was the original names of the Beatles many, many, many years ago. We're waiting for J.Unger and Molly Mays, and Harry's here, though. Right, Steve? Because now it's time for an untrue fact segment.
Turn off that music.
What? We went over this a few weeks ago. What?
Turn it off.
I'm sorry. Okay. What? That music is reserved for strange facts, which are true facts. I'm sorry, I just like this music. No. Okay, time for untrue facts. All these facts are guaranteed to be untrue. All right, what's the first one? Okay, even though the sun looks small in the sky, you know, about as big as your thumbnail, in truth, the sun is very large. It's about as big as a house. A house? Harry, the sun is much, much larger than that. I didn't say what kind of house, Steve. It's like a mansion. The sun is so big that a million Earths could fit in it. Yeah, right. I'm serious. Wait, don't stop it. Get real. A million Earths. What's the matter with you? The reason why the Earth looks small in the sky, by the way, is because it's far away. It's about, what, I don't know, it's a far away. It's like 500-600 miles away from us. You know, about the distance from, you know, New York City to Cleveland. Harry, the sun is 97 million miles from the Earth. Will you stop kidding around? 97 million miles. Who's going to believe that? You're just being silly. 97 million miles. You're funny, Steve. Now, actually, the sun is just one of many stars in the universe. Figure there are at least maybe, I don't know, like maybe 1,000 other stars in the known universe. There are 1 billion stars just in our galaxy, and there are 1 billion galaxies in the universe. All right. Where are you getting this information? From astronomers. You'd think they'd have something better to do than sit around and make up stories to fool the unsuspecting public. Boy, do those astronomers have wild imaginations. Imagine 1 billion times 1 billion. Wow! They like to goof around, don't they, Steve? All right, now here's another item. The Earth is very old. It's, I would say, at least 10,000 years old. Try 5 billion years old. I'm trying to be serious here, and you insist on being silly. And usually I'm the one who messes up this segment. Steve, nothing can be 5 billion years old. Think about how old that is. You can't, so stop being a nut. Okay. I'll tell you what. Maybe it's 15,000 years old, okay? There. Are you happy? Have we reached a compromise? The universe itself is about 15 billion years old. Yeah, right. Just let me do this, okay? Without you. Now, atoms are very, very small. In one grain of sand, you could fit about 5 atoms. That's how teeny tiny they are. You could barely see them. Harry, atoms are so small that about 1 billion fit in a grain of sand. Will you stop at 1 billion? 1 billion this, 1 billion that. What's the matter with you today? That's how small an atom is. I'm sorry. And if you split one atom, you get a huge explosion. Bigger than a firecracker? Big enough to blow up a city. That's what happened to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Hold on. You're telling me that an atom is so small that it's 1 billion times smaller than a grain of sand. And if you split it open, you could blow up a whole city. That's right. Man, are you a nut. We think of some wild routines on this show, Steve, but this one takes the cake. You are imaginative, but even you have topped yourself this time. It's the truth.
Yeah. How are you going to take an itsy-bitsy atom and split it? With a knife?
No, through a fusion process. A nuclear reactor takes millions of dollars and is a machine that's huge.
To split a particle that's a billion times smaller than a grain of sand.
That's right.
I'm not doing this anymore. If you're not going to be serious, then there's no reason for me to go on.
But it's the truth.
Can we change the subject here?
Okay.
The speed of light is very fast. It goes, what? I don't know, about 1,000 miles an hour. That's how fast light is.
Harry, light goes 186,000 miles a second.
Uh-huh. Just have your fun. And it's the scientist who told you this too, right?
That's right.
And what else have they told you? The little green men have invaded the planet. Are you hearing voices also, Steve?
I'm just telling you how fast light travels.
How can something go that fast? It's impossible. That's back and forth across America 30 times in 1 second.
That's right.
Forget it, man. I'm not doing this anymore.
What a good theme song, wasn't that? Ross, here, really got me going. I really enjoyed that television series, and we've got some of the most enjoyable songs from the series here, ready for you to sing along with them and enjoy yourselves. And, just a minute, I had a sudden thought. Are you hungry? That's a crazy thought, but I thought you might like some boiled beef and carrots. When I was a nipper, only 6 months old, me mother and me father too. They didn't know what to wean me on, they were both in a dreadful stew. They thought a tripe, they thought a steak, or a little bit of old cod's roe. Says I pop round to the old cook shop, I know what'll make me grow. Boiled beef and carrots, boiled beef and carrots. That's the stuff for your darby kill, it makes you fat and it keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarians on food they give to parrots. From morn till night, blow out your kite on boiled beef and carrots. Now I'm the father of a lovely pair of nippers, and they're both fat boys. They're twins, you can't tell which is which, like a pair of Savoy's. Now we had them christened in the week, when the parson took them on his knee. Says I, as they both got ginger hair, I want their names to be boiled beef and carrots, boiled beef and carrots. That's the stuff for your darby kill, it makes you fat and it keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarians on food they give to parrots. From morn till night, blow out your pipe on boiled beef and carrots. And again, boiled beef and carrots, ho, boiled beef and carrots. That's the stuff for your darby kill, it makes you fat and it keeps you well. Don't live like vegetarians on food they give to parrots. From morn till night, blow out your pipe on boiled beef and carrots.
Jay Younger and Molly Mason here on Knock on Wood.
Yeah,
boy, it is so much fun. I always love when you guys come on the show.
We like to be here.
Good, good. You used to come on a lot. Then you became like real famous. Now it's harder.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get you again coming on the way down.
There, right.
This might be it. Not yet.
You two have been doing so well for yourselves. First of all, Jay wrote the Civil War theme, which sort of started everything.
And it's called A Shokin Farewell.
Let me point this out. Wait. Before you start, I have a bone to pick with you.
Please.
Uh-huh.
I saw you at the Woodstock Church a couple of weeks ago, and I know I've seen you a few times. So you always talk about how the Civil War theme from the PBS series.
Right.
I am never given credit that at least a year
before the Civil War theme came out from the PBS series. It was my theme
That's right.
on Follow the River on WAMC.
Mention that in advance of the Civil War.
First it was on Follow the River, then he probably heard it. I bet you he lives in the listening area, right?
It's possible.
He probably
Ken
heard
Burns
it from
heard
my
it
show. Ken Burns heard it, and
show.
Then he said, I got to use that for the Civil
so
War.
So we all owe all this great success to you.
Exactly.
Using it on your radio
That's
show.
What I needed to hear. Okay, now let's get back to business.
The reason I mentioned the name was that it's named after a region in the Catskills where we live. Mm-hmm. We live right by the Ashokan Reservoir, which is the water that is over the town of Ashokan, which is submerged since they made the reservoir.
Yeah.
But we're going to play a tune, a fiddle tune that I had written many years before that, after having a kind of disappointing experience. I saw an ad in the paper for a 100-acre farm for $2,000 in the Catskills. And I drove way out into the center of the Catskills where this farm was and found out that it was a 2-acre farm for $100,000. It was a little backwards.
Ooh,
it was a misprint.
Yeah.
And when I got home, I picked the fiddle up and instead of writing a lament, like a Ashokan farewell, I wrote a little more vindictive sort of fiddle tune. So here it is. It's called Catskill Mountain Goose Chase.
I can see you doing it, running around.
The goose is flying.
Yeah. Thank you. Jay Unger, Molly Mason here on Knock on Wood. Thanks again.
If you do go out to Los Angeles, by all means, you should go to Disneyland. That's the wonderful place that Khrushchev wanted to go. Remember? They wouldn't let him. He cried and he yelled. They wouldn't let him go. So I went. I want to feel superior to somebody. And if you go out to Disneyland, you'll see all the different rides they have there for kids. And they also have something else. They have a theater there, Walt Disney's True Life Adventure Theater. They show all the movies that Walt Disney made. You know, like how the animals live in the desert, how they live in the North Pole, live in different places, how moose get together. You know, I didn't have to see that either. I'm not a kid anymore, you know. But they showed something there. They showed a bee making honey. And the camera was close up on the bee, and a little ugly bee, you know, with a million eyes. There. And the bee knew it was being watched, so it became like hot stuff and very arrogant, you know, like, you want to see honey? You know, the hard way, backwards. And, you know, you feel terrible. You say, look at that ugly little bee makes honey. Yeah, I'm a nice-looking person, you know, and all I can do is make a little wax with my ears. That's all, you know. And when you leave the theater, over the soundtrack comes a voice saying, yes, animals and insects are far superior to human beings.